Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
It's something that we don't talk about that much, but the fact of the matter is, in Scripture, over and over and over again, God's people are being challenged in regard to idolatry, and oftentimes that idolatry centers around material things.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Sermon on the Mount. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, in a message titled, Seeking First the Kingdom of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We have been studying this portion of Scripture that is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through the end of 7. And we're looking at this text that is such a profound text. It is a text that I have drawn from so many times in my life as a Christian. But once again, as we've gathered each week, we've been reminded that these teachings are descriptions of what life looks like in the kingdom of God. So the sermon that Jesus gave, he's basically describing for us life in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that was inaugurated by Jesus at his first coming and will be fully revealed and universally experienced at his second coming. So this is something that we've been trying to, emphasize to some degree, that the kingdom that we wait for in its totality is already here. And we're part of that kingdom. And that's something that I think if we live with that consciousness, that is going to help us in so many, many ways. But one of the most wonderful revelations in this teaching is that not only are the followers of Jesus the citizens of the kingdom, we are also the children of the king. The verses at the center of the sermon are the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, which begins, "Our Father in heaven." Maybe you remember Richard pointed that out. This is the central passage of this sermon, reminding us of the fact that we are the children of God. So in the verses that we're going to look at today, we're going to go all the way through the remainder of the chapter. Jesus is telling us not to store up treasures here on earth, not to worry about how we will survive without them, for he tells us this is the preoccupation of the unbeliever. But you, as followers of Jesus, citizens of the kingdom, you have a Father who knows what you need and has promised to take care of you. So rather than giving your time, talents, and energy to serving mammon, now the NIV translates the word here money, which is fine. There is a word the older translations will use, and it's the word mammon. And mammon was an Aramaic term for wealth or riches. And so rather than giving our time, talents, and energy to serving mammon, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so let's walk through verses 19 through 24 to begin with. So the first thing we read here, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The desire for wealth, riches, and power is as old as time. You know, it's something that we don't talk about that much, but the fact of the matter is, in Scripture, over and over and over again, God's people are being challenged in regard to idolatry, and oftentimes that idolatry centers around material things. You know, when we think of sin or we think of idolatry, we tend to, in our, you know, sort of modern, Western, affluent culture, we tend to sort of think of, you know, sins committed in the sexual realm, or we think of, you know, different kind of ethical things and so forth, which are all legitimate. And of course, the Bible addresses all these things. But sometimes we sort of overlook the obvious, that so many people in our culture, and unfortunately, so many people in the church are really idolaters, and the idolatry centers around this idea of mammon. This idolatry centers around our lives being given over to the pursuit of these material things rather than the pursuit of the kingdom. So people so often pursue riches because they think that wealth equals happiness. This is the great delusion. And in one place, Jesus refers to the deceitfulness of riches. He actually uses that term, the deceitfulness of riches. The riches are deceitful because they fool you into thinking that if you have them, you will be happy. You will be content. But we could give hundreds of examples through human experience of why that is obviously not the case. Matthew Perry, the actor, he was most famous for his role on the TV show Friends. He spent his whole adult life battling addiction. Now here's a guy who's famous. Here's a guy who is wealthy. But here's a person who is obviously unhappy. And so he becomes addicted to alcohol and to other substances. And one article I read said that he had spent $9 million on treatment. $9 million on treatment. And all of this to say, wealth does not equal happiness. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, don't store up treasure on earth. For one, your treasure can be stolen, or it can just be eaten away. Do not store up treasure on earth, but rather store up treasure in heaven. So we'll look at what that looks like in a moment. But these words remind us of words that were spoken by the Apostle Paul to his young assistant, Timothy. They are sobering words. They are a reminder of where the pursuit of riches lead. Listen to what Paul wrote. He said, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Wow. This is reality. This is God's word. This is the truth about those who give themselves over to the pursuit of riches. Now, is Jesus forbidding us from having a savings account? Is Jesus prohibiting us from maybe having a business that makes money and we're able to put money away? Is Jesus prohibiting us from material possessions or success in the material realm? No, he's not doing that. And we know that from other scripture. What Jesus is doing is he is warning us to not let riches become our master, which they so easily can become. See, there's a danger here. There's a danger that the desire for wealth could steal our hearts from devotion to God. And that's what Jesus is doing here is really, he's giving us, in a sense, he's kind of giving us a priority list for life. So don't store up treasure on earth. Now, don't put your heart into that. Don't make that your goal or ambition. I remember years ago, just one little 15, 30 second conversation with a young guy standing right down here. And he came up to me and he said, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, I want to be a Christian, but I'm going to be a millionaire as well. I never saw him again. But I thought to myself and I said to him, I don't think that's the priority. If you're going to follow Jesus, I think what you really need to do is ask Jesus what he wants you to do with your life. But he already had it planned out. He was going to make his millions. But as I'm saying, Jesus is not forbidding us from becoming rich. Listen again to Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, command those who are rich. So obviously among Christians, there are rich people. Command those who are rich in this present world. And now listen to what he goes on to say. He doesn't say, command them to get rid of their riches. No, he says, command them not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in uncertain riches, but in the living God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And then Paul says, command them to be good or to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now listen, in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves. Paul is echoing the words of Jesus. Do not store up treasure on earth. Paul is saying, this is how you fulfill what Jesus meant in that place where he said this. So that they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And then back in our text, Jesus says this. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, that's a reality. Where your treasure is, the thing that you value the most in life, that's what your heart is attached to. Now, Jesus then, he goes on and he speaks about the eye. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, the word healthy here could also be translated single. If your eye is single. So this is talking about our eye being singly focused on the Lord and his kingdom. That's the picture that Jesus is painting here. And he's talking about the eye is the lamp of the body. So really what he's talking about ultimately is the heart. And so what he's saying is if our hearts are undivided between the kingdom and the world, then our lives are full of light. An undivided heart. The psalmist prayed, Lord, give me an undivided heart. See, this is so often the problem. Our hearts are all divided. If our hearts are secretly longing for wealth, power, and prestige in this world, then we are actually serving the world and really deep down full of darkness. That's a heavy thing that Jesus is saying. John the apostle wrote in his first letter something that is, I think, a bit of a, it's a little bit of an exposition of what Jesus is talking about here. And this is what John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. He said, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and now he gives the list, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The lust of the flesh, passion, the lust of the eyes, possession, the pride of life, position. These are the things that Jesus is talking about. And he says, if you're divided in your heart, and if there is that part of you that's actually seeking after these things, the light that you think in you is actually darkness. The way to chase the darkness out is to refocus and put our attention fully upon the Lord. Then Jesus says, in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. So the point is, God is a master, or the pursuit of mammon is the master. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Jesus just makes it clear, you can't do it. It's impossible. You can try to do it, but Jesus is already telling us you can't do it. You will end up, if you're not fully serving the Lord, you will end up ultimately fully serving the other. John Stott, the British pastor, scholar, and statesman, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, he wrote this. Some people disagree with this saying of Jesus. They refuse to be confronted with such a stark and outright choice and see no necessity for it. They blandly assure us that it is perfectly possible to serve two masters simultaneously, or they manage it very nicely themselves, Several possible arrangements and adjustments appeal to them. Either they serve God on Sundays and mammon on weekdays, or God with their lips and mammon with their hearts, or God in appearance and mammon in reality, or God with half their being and mammon with the other half. It is this popular compromise solution that Jesus declares to be impossible. Would-be compromisers misunderstand his teaching, for they miss the picture of slave and slave owner which lies behind his words. Men can work for two employers, but no slave can be the property of two owners. For single ownership and full-time service are the essence of slavery. So anybody who divides his allegiance between God and mammon has already given it to mammon, since God can be served only with an entire and exclusive devotion. Those are pretty sobering words. But this is what Jesus is saying. And remember, this is instruction that Jesus is giving for the citizens of the kingdom. And now Jesus says in verse 25, he says, therefore. So this is what I'm telling you. And now this is how you are to respond. That's what the therefore is going to connect. You can't serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you. Now, one time, many ages ago, I remember how this passage just struck me so deeply and encouraged me so greatly. And it did so when I read the words, and just suddenly it kind of flashed on me who it was that was saying this to me. And that's what we need to think about. Because Jesus is essentially going to go on to say, don't worry about this stuff. Well, you know, sometimes people come to you and say, hey, don't worry about it. And you're like, what do you know? You know, why shouldn't I worry about it? What are you going to do to solve the problem? Well, the one who says don't worry about it is the one who made everything. The one who is in charge of everything. The one who controls the world. That's the one who's speaking to us. Therefore, I, Jesus, tell you who are deeply loved of the Father. So think of that. The eternal Son, the heir of all things. The one who holds all things together by the word of his power is reminding us that we are those who are deeply loved of the Father. And so he then says, do not worry about your life. Listen, don't worry about your life. This is God's word to you. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat and drink. And then basically he says, you know, look at this. And for us, remember, God feeds the birds. God feeds all the animals, actually. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They don't plant seeds and then harvest and store it up in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, I was reading Psalm 104 the other morning, and in Psalm 104, it says this. It says, he makes grass grow for the cattle. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. All creatures look to him to give them their food at the proper time.
For the month of June, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher by Peter J. Williams. Everyone loves a good story. We're captivated by them. The power of a story moves us through the arts. It can keep us on the edge of our seats in entertainment. It can persuade us through marketing, or it can help us grow through education. We live in a world that is shaped by the power of story. Of all the most notable storytellers throughout history, perhaps none were as skilled as Jesus of Nazareth. He combined high levels of knowledge and insight, communication skills, and simplicity to impact his audience. The genius of Jesus was also shown through his ability to communicate through the power of story. In his new book, The Surprising Genius of Jesus, What the Gospels Reveal About the Greatest Teacher, Peter J. Williams will give you wisdom and insight into Jesus' parable of the prodigal son to help you understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. After reading this book, you'll come to appreciate the genius and creativity of Jesus' teaching. Discipleship is essential for spiritual growth and following Jesus. So if you want to grow as a follower of Jesus by gleaning fresh insights from the parable of the prodigal son, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Surprising Genius of Jesus, what the Gospels reveal about the greatest teacher by Peter J. Williams. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Sermon on the Mount. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.